Good morning, Valley Brook family and friends, and welcome to another Sunday here at Valley Brook, worshiping the Lord together. Second Sunday in January, our Care Through Prayer Sunday. And we are delighted to be with you, and we are excited about what the Lord is going to do today. The Lord is always working. Jesus said, "My Father is at work, and I am working at this time." And so we just thank the Lord for the work that He wants to do through us and the continuing work that He has been doing in our lives ever since the day that we said yes to Him. At this time, I'm going to have my lovely wife come up, and she's going to give the announcements and the offertory prayer.
Good morning, Valley Brook family and friends, and welcome to Valley Brook, and welcome to January the 10th, 2021. We want to give a special welcome to all of you who are joining us for the first time today. We are happy that you have chosen to worship with us here at Valley Brook. If you would, click on the link below to access our first-time visitor card and take a few minutes to complete it. You may also find this form on our streaming page after the sermon. This will help us to pray for you and to notify you of future Valley Brook events. Praise reports, prayer requests, and sick and shut-in reports. If you have information about a member who has become ill, or if you would like others to pray for you, please complete a prayer request e-card located under the Pastor's Corners tab, on the streaming tab, or on our website, and we will be sure to lift you up. Also, every Wednesday at 8 p.m., we have a prayer conference call. The phone number and access code are listed on our website's homepage and in today's bulletin. Offering. You may contribute your regular tithes and offerings on our website through our Giving tab or by mailing it to our office address as listed on the back of the bulletin. Access to our bulletin. Please reference this morning's bulletin for our scripture reading and more complete information about the Valley Brook happenings. You may access the bulletin by clicking on the streaming tab and click on the link labeled Virtual Bulletin. To all of our ministry leaders, as the 2021 year has begun, during this week you will receive our Valley Brook yearly calendar. Please make all changes necessary for your ministry meetings and events so that we are all able to share these with our congregation in the very near future. To all who are here today, we truly appreciate those of you who have chosen today to fellowship in person this Sunday morning. We ask you to please be mindful of the pandemic, that is, to continue practice social distancing while inside the building, to cover your nose and mouth with your mask at all times, and to please leave the building immediately after the pastor gives the benediction. Please help us all to continue practicing these healthy habits that protect one another as well as ourselves. Love thy neighbor. Scripture reading. Our scripture reading this morning will be coming from Psalm 16. Again, that'll be Psalm 16 in its entirety. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, "You are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing." As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Thank you, Lord. Let us pray. Father God, what an appropriate psalm written by David for us today, Lord, that it is you and only you in which we can feel secure. For certainly, Lord, the days and times in which we've been living, even after we crossed into 2021, make us feel shaken, insecure, less confident. But in you, we have total security, total confidence, that what the very best that you would have for us, no matter how it looks on the outside, you have my very best at heart. Thank you, God. Thank you for being the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So God, I just lift up before you now, Pastor Dan, as he comes before us, Lord, with the word from you. As always, God, but it just seems like from Sunday to Sunday, more so. We need to hear a word from you. We need to be reminded one more time, uplifted, encouraged, inspired, moved, reminded of who you are, how big you are, how awesome you are. So we look forward to God preparing our hearts to hear what you would say through your son, through Pastor Dan. Father God, we look forward to any and all offerings that you would send today, or send this week, or sent last week, God, to be used for your purposes. We thank you for them, Lord. We thank you ahead of time. We thank you as they come in. We thank you as we await them. For they all really are yours, God. There's no such thing as being able to outdo you. There's no such thing as being able to give back to you. What we can do, God, is share. So I thank you and I praise you. We look forward to our time worshiping you. In the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And amen.
Amen, sister, sweetheart. Thank you so much. And again, welcome and good morning. Before we launch into this morning's message, I just want to remind you that Sunday evenings, generally speaking, Sunday evenings or Monday mornings, the sermon notes for the message are posted on our website, valleybrook.church. So if you miss a verse or you miss a point or you say, what was that again? You very likely may find it in the notes that are posted on the website. So I encourage you to check that out again, valleybrook.church. If you want to have the sermon notes. You know, I recall at the end of last year, it was either the last message of 2020 or it was the message before, but I recall saying that many of us are looking forward to 2021. And many of us want 2020 to be in the rear view mirror as fast as it can get there. And I also said, but there is no guarantee that 2021 will be any better. So we're not putting our hope in the year to come, because there's no guarantee that the contents of that year are going to be any better than the year we've left. But we can still have hope if our hope is in the right place. And sure enough, 2021 started off worse. Sure enough, we all watched in disbelief and horror, really, this past week as our Capitol was invaded by a riotous and dangerous, deadly, it turns out, mob. Capitol was ravaged. People died. And you know, the picture that stands out in my mind the most, for some reason, and I saw all of them, or many of them, just as you have, as you saw them. But the one that stands out in my mind, for some reason, is the one of some guy hanging from the balcony of the House chamber. Hanging from the place where the first ladies sit as their president husbands deliver the State of the Union address. Hanging from the balcony of the room where Roosevelt declared war on Japan after the bombing of Pearl Harbor and so many other momentous pronouncements and decisions. It was the news last week. It will be the news this coming week. But this is where our focus this morning shifts from a secular analysis to a spiritual one. If you want more of a secular analysis, you can hop on the television and do as I'm sure you did last week. Get your fill of it by watching whatever your favorite channel happens to be. But this morning, we're going to have a little bit of a different focus and a little bit of a different perspective. This morning's message is titled, When Evil Invades Your Place. When evil invades your place. In some ways, this is preparation for 2021 all over again. We don't know what the future holds, but we know that we've been promised that life is not going to just be a seamless garment, that it's going to be tattered in places and torn in places, sometimes ravaged in places. So what does the scripture say about when evil invades your place? I'd like you to turn with me. Our text is from Psalm 46. And we're going to start at the beginning of the chapter. Psalm 46. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength. Hallelujah. An ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. You know, this is one of the most stabilizing passages in Scripture, and there are many, but this is one of them. It's been called Luther's hymn because during the Reformation, when Luther felt walled in by trouble, he and his fellow reformists, if you will, would often sing Psalm 46 to give themselves a reminder of exactly what was going on beyond the trouble that they saw on every side. So I want to just go through it with you this morning by means of processing not only what happened last week, but the trouble in all of its various forms that may await us in 2021. Now, God is gracious. We are not predicting a forecast of a year-long reign of tribulation. But we would be foolish to think that it's not going to come. And we are always wise to prepare ourselves with a perspective that helps us to process it rightly, so that we, as Peter said, are not alarmed when these things happen. So we're not caught off guard, but we've been amply equipped and supplied by God's truth. So I want to go through this and look at this from a biblical perspective. And if you're taking notes, I'm not going to give you point one, point two, point three. I'm just going to go through several of the phrases that are highlights of this particular psalm. And you can write those down as your points of reference just to organize your notes. The first thing I want to talk about is verse one. It says, God is our refuge and strength. You know, a refuge is a place of protection. It's a place of safety. You only need it when there's trouble. You do not need a refuge when there's no trouble. When you're relaxing and having a great time, what you need is a beach. But you don't need a refuge. You only need a refuge when there's trouble. When the big bad wolf blew down the house of the pigs who made their homes of wood and sticks, they took refuge in the house of the smart little pig who had a home of brick. And the rest is, as they say, fairy tale history. But the Lord as our refuge, the Lord as our strength, is not a fiction. It's not a fairy tale. He himself is that place of protection. He is that place of strength. It's not a building, it's not a facility, it's not a compound, it's him. The Lord himself is our refuge and our strength. And it says also that he is ever present. We don't have to run to it. We just have to turn to him in faith, because he is with us wherever we go. He is ever present. You know, for many of us, when we're dealing with stuff, internalizing this truth alone would be enough to affect the way that we feel and affect the way that we perceive whatever it is that's ailing us at the moment. Just this idea that the Lord is ever present, that he is with us. And maybe that's one of the reasons why the Lord repeats it so often in the scriptures. Like he said in Joshua 1 to Joshua, do not fear, for I am with you. As David remembered in Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. In Matthew 28, as Jesus was ascending to heaven, lo, I am with you guys always, even to the end of the age. In John 14, before he ascended, he said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and he's going to be with you forever. says in Hebrews 13, I will never leave you or forsake you. And I love the wording of this. Every time I look at that verse in Hebrews 13, I'm so thankful that it says, I will never leave you. And I'm happy that it doesn't say, I will always come to you. Because he's always there. I don't have to worry about him coming to me. He's never going to leave me because he's always there. Ephesians 1 says that we've been sealed by the indwelling Holy Spirit until the day that Christ comes back to get us. I was telling the Lord the other day, I am so thankful that I rejoice that I don't have to wait until I see you face to face to be with you. I don't have to wait to see you to be with you. I'm going to be with you through all of eternity, and that's going to be great. I'm going to fall down and worship you, but I don't have to wait until this life is over to be with you. I can be with you today. I am with you today. More important, you are with me today. And still more important, you are in me today. You are ever present. Verse 4 talks about rivers and streams. There's a city whose rivers and streams. According to Bible scholars, this is a reference to God's presence among us and the benefits of his presence. And as it applies to us in this dispensation, this period of history, this period of God's eternal plan, under the new covenant, the city is the church of God. We are his temple. And we are his dwelling place, individually and collectively. And this verse speaks about those rivers, referencing the Holy Spirit, whom the Lord calls in John chapter 7, rivers of living water. The Holy Spirit is described as rivers of living water flowing from us. The specific blessing that's mentioned here. Because of those streams, because of the presence of God, the specific blessing is gladness, joy. You know, I asked my wife if she bought a Powerball ticket. She said, no, we don't generally buy lottery tickets. I think I bought maybe two of them in my life, two or three. But if you buy them, you know, there's no sin in buying a Powerball ticket. You know, I'm not going to go down that road. Why are you spending your money on that? You know, it's that's crazy. You know, anything can become an obsession. And if it's not an obsession, you're good. But I asked my wife, I said, did you buy a Powerball ticket? And she said, no, you know, but I see all the people lining up. And, you know, when the jackpot gets to a certain amount, everybody wants a piece of that. You know, you got to be in it to win it. Yeah, I may have one chance out of 65 billion, but you know what? Somebody's going to win. It might as well be me. And the thing that gets people out there, as you know, is because it's not just the money. It's the promise of the money. It's what this will do if I want it. Man, I'll just be set for life. I can do so many things. So many pressures will be relieved. So many people I can help. And, oh, God, if you just let me win, I promise I'll give at least 10% to the church. That sweetens the request a little bit in the minds of many of us. But the promise of the money, there's nothing wrong with money. And there's nothing wrong with having it. As we all know, it's the love of money that is the root of all sorts of evil, the scripture says. But the Lord knows we need money, and he's not hating on money. But you know, we have something better than the winning Powerball ticket. Even if you were the winner, you have something already right now that is better than the Powerball jackpot. The scripture says that we are loaded, that we have the unsearchable riches of Christ at our disposal, that God has freely given to us. And when it says unsearchable, he's not just exaggerating. It means just that, unsearchable, unfathomable riches. You know, I pray for me and I pray for you, brothers and sisters, that God would continue to bless us each day as he is by revealing to us those riches day by day so that we can embrace and enjoy and celebrate our wealth in him. Because God wants us to be rich. He wants us to feel rich. He wants us to enjoy being rich with the true riches. The true riches, the eternal riches, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Here it says that part of that is gladness and joy that comes as a result of our fellowship with God in those streams of water. And those river, the river and streams of water, gladness and joy. But there's so much more connected to those streams. I like the fact that it's streams, they're tributaries. They have different effects. God has different effects of his grace that he dispenses to us. There's gladness and joy, but there's so much more. There's peace. There's hope. There's purpose. There's all the fruit of the Spirit. There's life, all ours in Christ. So the idea here is that through verses 1-3, the mountains are quaking and the oceans are roaring and the world is in upheaval and chaos and confusion. All hell is breaking loose. And then it says in the next verse, we have access to these calming, consoling waters of the Spirit. The diverse effects of God's grace. There's all this going on, but there's a city whose streams make glad the city of God. And verse 5, it says, she will not fall. God will help her. She will not fall. God will help her. You know, last week our message was about how one of the primary ways that God delivers this joy and gladness and delivers the effects, the glorious effects of his Spirit. One of the primary ways that God blesses us with the unsearchable riches of Christ. It's not just it coming down from heaven in our private time with him or in some mystical kind of a way, although God does do that. But one of the primary ways he wants to bless us is through one another, through our mutual care and support of one another, because we are his body. And I mentioned I referenced 1 Corinthians 12 last week and talked about the body principle, how God places each one of us in the body to care for the body. Well, in the same way, the way that he wants to to help us, it says God is in the midst of her. She will not fall. God will help her. One of the ways that God will help her is through his people, through you and me. So I want to say something here. I want to pause for just a second to say something. I want to thank you all for those of you who have been praying for our daughter, Hannah. I want to thank you for your prayers for our daughter, Hannah. For those of you who don't know the story, don't know the full story, please excuse me for just a second while I rejoice with those who do know the story. She sent us this past week selfies that she took of herself at work. And when I received those, I cannot tell you what a blessing it was to my soul. So many questions were answered. And so many of my fears were just relieved just by looking at those couple of selfie pictures. I felt like the Samaritan woman who met Jesus at the well. That's the best way to describe how I felt when I got those pictures. I was so thankful and I was so just grateful. And I thought about this Samaritan woman, and I was smiling in the tears of joy. I was smiling, and I was thinking about how that poor woman, she was so excited. She left her bucket, and she ran off to tell people. She never said, "Thank you, Jesus." She was so thankful that she forgot to give thanks. She just ran off telling people. And as I was walking the other day and thinking about this and thanking the Lord, I wanted to stop and just run home and tell everybody, those of you who've been praying. I just wanted to run home and, like that woman, leave the Lord right there and just take off and celebrate. I was so eager. But then I realized that it would take me all day to thank all of you. So what I decided to do is take just a moment during my message this morning to say thank you and to keep on praying for our daughter. God helps us through one another. God has helped me. God is in the midst of her. He will help her. She will not fall. Your prayers have prevented me from falling prey to discouragement and despair. And it has been through your prayers and your support, not just in this area, but in all kinds of other areas. And the same has been true for you. God is in the midst of her through us, and he will help her. She will not fall. Whatever this year is bringing to us, God is in the midst of her. You will not fall. We will be there for you, and you will be there for us. It's how God works. It's what he does. Verse 6, and I so like what it says here. It says, nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Message puts it like this. Kings and kingdoms threaten, but earth does anything he says. Oh, they are rattling their sabers and threatening all kinds of things. And the kings of this earth think they have so much power by the size of their armies, by their swagger, by their influence. The earth melts at his voice. He lifts his voice, and earth does anything he says. Pharaoh found that out to be true. When he saw that sea part, wait a minute, I got an army. What is this? That's not fair. Can't be calling on the sea to help you. He lifts his voice, and the earth melts. The disciples found that out when they were battling the storm, and they were battling the wind and battling the waves, and Jesus spoke and the earth melted. The earth calmed down. He spoke and its noisy voice just shut up. The earth does anything he says. That's who we serve. That's who's with us. That is our refuge and our strength. Verse 7, the Lord Almighty is with us. See, earlier, he references God in the general sense, the creator, the God of nature. But here, the Lord Almighty, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of angel armies, God the warrior. In other words, all the backup we will ever need is with us. The Lord Almighty, the Lord of hosts, is with us. See, brothers and sisters, what we need to focus on is not our plan. Everybody's got a plan, Mike Tyson said, until you get hit. When you get hit, you need more than a plan. You need somebody who's going to be there to speak comfort and wisdom and offer you the support within your soul that you need to take that next step. You can try to fight it out, gut it out in the flesh, but I got a better way. The Lord Almighty is with us. You can tough it out in your own strength if you like, but the Lord is offering us something qualitatively, exceptionally beyond us. Verse 9, he makes wars to cease. He, makes wars, not just a war, all wars, to the ends of the earth. You know, when I think about this, I think about how mankind has free will. Got free will to operate, but within limits. Never beyond God's ultimate plans. Never beyond God's ultimate purposes. Never beyond His purposes for the world, for the church, for you personally. No matter what anybody else may be doing, they cannot operate in your life, around your life. They cannot affect you. They cannot affect the world. No matter what's happening, no matter what kind of tumultuousness is going on nationally, internationally, or what's happening in your world personally, it cannot go outside of the boundaries of God's eternal purposes that He's going to execute in Christ, through Christ, for Christ, putting everything under Christ. Nor can it operate outside of His promise to work all things together for the good of those who love God. Never beyond His purposes. The earth revolves every 24 hours, I was thinking this past week. The earth revolves every 24 hours. While we're experiencing the light, other parts of the world are in darkness. But the sun is always shining. Whether you're seeing the light or whether you're seeing the darkness, the sun is always shining. I want you to think about the sun as being God's purposes. Whether you're looking at the darkness, or whether you're looking at the light, the sun is still shining and it will always shine. His purposes for each one of us individually and for the world are always intact. Never dims, never goes out. Never knocked off track. Never paused. The sun is always shining. The purposes of God are from everlasting to everlasting, from generation to generation. And it doesn't matter what kind of tumultuousness is going on personally, in my family, in my country, in my world. It doesn't really matter. As far as what God's purposes are, He's working all things together for the good of those who love God. Flamina shared a song with some of us this past week on our church feed in Marco Polo, an old Edwin Hawkins song. Joy, joy, behind every dark cloud, there's a silver lining. After each rainstorm, there's a brand new sky. And I couldn't help but kind of chime in a little bit on my little polo with her, because it is such a celebration of God's sovereignty. And brothers and sisters, it would do our hearts a lot of good to praise the Lord every day for His sovereignty. It would put things in perspective for us. It would help us to see things a little different. It would help us to feel things a little bit differently. He makes wars to cease. You know, think of the darkness of the crucifixion. The sky was black, but above it, the purposes of God were shining radiantly. And the earth slowly revolved to that resurrection Sunday. And glory broke forth from that tomb. And that is our eternal model of God being our refuge and strength. That is our eternal model. The darkest day in history became the glorious, radiant light that continues to change the world day by day. And the glorious conclusion of all of this we come to after considering all these things. Verse 10, be still. Light of all this, brothers and sisters, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Or one translation says, cease striving and know that I am God. Be still. I will. My sister called me up and shared this verse with me, and that's when I decided that I would use it this morning. We were talking on the phone, and she was asking me, we were just trying to process what was going on. And she shared this verse, and I thought, you know, that's what the Lord is saying to us. In everything, be still, I will. Make that your motto this week. Be still, I will, says the Lord. Be still. I will. That's his message to everything that impacts our lives. But being still doesn't mean being complacent. It doesn't mean being disengaged. On the contrary, what we are invited to do is to be still so that we can be responsive to him. Not just busy. Not just frantic. Not just doing stuff. You know, I always say there are good ideas and there are bad ideas and then there are God's ideas. And what I want is to not be overtaken by bad ideas. And I don't want to trust in good ideas. What I want to do is to be receptive and responsive and be still so that I have God's ideas. And if he doesn't drop a sign from heaven saying this is the way or this is the thing, I want my heart to be in a place of trust. And I want to operate out of a place of faith, not out of a place of fear. I want to operate out of a place of truth. Even if I don't have perfect knowledge, it's where I'm coming from that's important. God doesn't expect me to know everything. I don't know everything. He doesn't expect me to have an absolute bead on every decision I need to make. I don't know that. I can't do that. I don't always know what to say. I don't know what to think. I don't know what to do all the time. Life is confusing, but being still to me doesn't mean that you figure it all out. To me, being still means being in a place where you're still in your spirit, still in your soul, and you're waiting on the Lord and you move forward in faith. Trusting in him as your refuge. Trusting in him as your strength. That's what be still means. It doesn't mean that you're not involved in the process. Certainly God wants to involve us in the process. Whatever God is doing on earth, he's doing in and through his people. That means you and that means me. So when God says, cease striving and know that I am God, I will be exalted on the earth. I will be exalted in the earth. What he's referring to is his work on earth through his people, through his body. He still has the ability to command nature. The Lord can still speak and the earth will melt. But whenever we read what God is doing, because you are a part of his body, church, he's saying, I got my people. And this is what we're doing. So when you read that and it says, I will be exalted in the earth, the Lord has you as an integral part of that. He has me as an integral part of that. And what a privilege it is. What he's talking about doing, he's talking about doing with us. And through us, as the scripture says, we are partners in the gospel, says in Philippians 1. God is at work in you to will and to work for his good pleasure. So he is being exalted on the earth through us. So let's be still before him so we can be responsive. We can be receptive. We can be in a place of faith and trust in him. You know, Steve Jobs said, the late Steve Jobs said, you can't connect the dots looking forward. Talking about the future. You can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect them looking backwards. So you have to trust that the dots will somehow connect in your future. You have to trust in something, he said. Your gut, destiny, life, karma, whatever. If I could ask Steve one question a day, it would be, what was your something, Steve? What was your something that you were trusting in as you were looking at the disconnected dots of the future? What were you trusting in? Was it gut? Was it destiny? Was it life? Was it karma? Or was it whatever? What were you trusting in? And if I could ask every person I care about one question, it would be, what is your something that you're trusting in to connect the uncertain dots of the future for you? Life is too short to be vague about such a critical part of life as preparedness. As our future. I think life is too precious to just be taking chances and hoping. I think we can do better than that. And I think God is offering us something better than that. He's offering us something better than whatever will be, will be. You know what he's offering us? Thank you, Jesus. He's not offering us a plan. He's offering us himself. God is our refuge and strength. God is an ever-present help in times of trouble. My something is not a thing. My something is a someone. And I'm clear on it. When I look at the disconnected dots of the future, my security is not in my ability to figure it out. It's not in my ability to navigate it. I am not trusting in my wisdom. I'm not trusting in my might. I'm not trusting in my connections. And as much as I love you all, I ain't trusting in you. I rely upon you. I need you because you are the body of Christ. But I recognize it's the of Christ in that I'm trusting in. And so shall it be for all of us. It's not a slight on any of us individually. It's not a slight on us as our intentions. You know what it is? It's a recognition of our limitations. And it's not fair for me or for you to put on one another what God himself can only be. God is my refuge. And I believe that the tremendous benefits of trusting in him don't end at the grave. I'm not just trying to get through this life. The best thing about this life is the one that I am going to immediately see when this life is over. I don't have to wait until I see you, Jesus, to be with you. You are my refuge. You are my strength. You are my ever-present help in times of trouble. And Lord, when evil invades my place, my heart will say, seek his face. What we're going to do now is just take some time, as we do every second Sunday, and pray. I'm going to ask the Lord to help us to make him our refuge. I'm going to ask you to pray. I'm going to ask you to take a few moments as my wife comes up here. I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit different. I'm going to ask you to take out a pencil and paper if you've been keeping notes. I want you to write down three things. I want you to write down know him better. I want you to write down love each other more. And I want you to write down use our gifts and resources. Now, for those of you who are members of Valley Brook, these are not new things. These are the things that we pray about every single Sunday. These are the things that our altar were constructed around, knowing him better, loving each other more, and using our gifts. But now I'm going to give you a fourth one, and this is for all of us, because this was not a part of those three, that the Lord would help us to exalt him as we get to know him better. As we love each other more, as we use our gifts and resources, that the effect would be what it says here in verse 10, that he would be exalted among the nations and he would be exalted among the earth, and that we would be sensitive to him to see how he wants to use us where we are, wherever we are, to make that happen. Through the design that he has given each one of us, through the attributes that he's given each one of us. So I'm going to give you a few moments, and my wife is going to come up and stand by me, and then we're going to close us in prayer. Take some time privately, either with someone, if you're watching alone, just take some time privately. And we're praying together at this time that the Lord would help us to just to know him better, to love each other more, to use our gifts and resources as he has equipped us, and that he might be exalted through our lives this coming week in big and small ways. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for not just giving us a place to run, but making yourself available. You yourself personally, giving us access to you as our refuge, and not just, Lord, to protect us, but your strength to be able, Lord, to face and fight the adversaries that we face, to be able to be fortified against the uncertain, Lord, difficulties and tribulations that lie ahead, or the ones that we're presently battling. Lord, there's nothing better, there's nothing more that you could offer us that can top yourself. And so we thank you for giving us the most precious commodity in the universe, you yourself. And I pray for my brothers and sisters, Lord, that this week, you would help us to have a fresh confidence in you. Lord, we trust you. We pray to you. We meditate. We sing our praises. We do all these things, Lord, to cultivate our faith. I'm asking you for a divine endowment this week that would give us, Lord, a fresh confidence, a fresh confidence in you. Lord, confidence in you as we deal with our jobs. Lord, confidence within you as we deal with our family relationships. Confidence in you as we deal with our health. Lord, we thank you for all of the things that we will face this week. We thank you, Lord, because we know that you want to use all of those things. We know you want to use all of those things to deepen and blossom our confidence and our faith and our trust and our hope and our joy and our understanding of and our perception of the riches, the unsearchable riches of Christ. And so we, Lord, together bow our heads before you. Together, Lord, we lift our hands to you. Together, Lord, we surrender our hearts to you. And together, Lord, we give you thanks for all you have done to bring us to this place in our faith in you. We trust you, Lord. We thank you. We bless you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. There will be a special choral selection after the benediction, so stay tuned for that as well. I love you all. Thank you for your love for me. And we thank the Lord for his love for all of us. When evil invades your place, remember who is your refuge and who is your strength. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.
Oh, peace of God, reign on me. My spirit's calling to be free. My heart is heavy, I'm weighted down, for I know that your presence will always be around.